بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. ثم أما بعد، فن كسب الآخرين للتميز والإبداع، وهذا العنوان هو بخصوص كيفية كسب قلوب الآخرين للدعوة لله سبحانه وتعالى. Brothers and sisters, we're talking about the art of gaining hearts. The art of gaining hearts, the hearts of people, so they can listen to you when you are making da'wah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order for you to be able to make a da'wah, you have to have an audience, or you have to have someone who's willing to listen to you to pass your message. And this by itself is an art, to be able to gain the hearts of the people where they can sit and listen to you, and that is what we will be talking about. We started before and we have mentioned that any da'iyah needs tazkiyah, and this is by tahliyah, tahliyah, and tanmiyah. Every person who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs to have spiritual developments, moral developments, and physical developments. And this is basically, in short words, you can say that you need to repent from all sins, and you need to put in your heart and replace it with good deeds and knowledge, and you need to develop all of that and be physically sound so you can continue in passing and making the good deeds for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The da'iyah slogan should be help, not dump. Help, not dump. We talked about that in different places where someone would come to us, or we would notice someone coming to the masjid, for instance, and he has a problem. He has a problem in maybe certain sins that he's doing, or certain behavior that he's not supposed to have, or an attire that he is supposed to change, or something like that. Rather than closing the doors of the masjid in his face or kicking him out of the masjid, we need to help him grow out of this sin so he will be a good Muslim. Because you have many people who are motivated by anger or by so-called jealousy for Islam, like, you know, saying, I cannot stand someone doing so and so, I cannot see someone dressed like this and that, and based on that their anger makes them move or say certain things that is so much not a da'wah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is deterring people and turning people away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under the pretense that I am a good Muslim, or I am making da'wah, or this is how you change munkar. And this is not the way it is. The way it is when you see a sick person, when a sick person comes to the hospital, to the doctor, what does he do to him? The sicker he is, the lighter and the more compassionate he is with the person to treat him. When you want to treat your children, when they are sick and they hate the medicine, what do? You start beating them up to take it. It's not going to work. You will be convincing them in every possible way so you can make them take the medicine. We, as callers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supposed to be more compassionate than doctors, and more compassionate even than father and mother, because we are delivering people from the hellfire. We are not just simply keeping people alive for the sake of living. We are making people alive in their hearts where it counts. Our man kana maytan fahyaynah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, is it the person who was dead, spiritually dead, his heart is dead, and then we revived it. We revived it by what? By Islam, by the Quran, by the Hadith, by the teachings of Islam. This is how and what we are planning to do is to revive the hearts of the disobedience by making them dump all the bad things and fill up with good things. And that is what we are looking for. It is not something that, Zakallah. It is not something like a person comes to you. Yeah, we'll take some example. I mean, this is a little bit off the topic, but I like to enhance that with something. Look at the, I'm not going to go in details. I'm sure you know the story. When the person came to Prophet, a companion came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he was, yani, not in the right path, he came, a young man, asking Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to allow him to commit zina. If you picture that, asking Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam so bluntly, allow me to commit zina. He knows it's haram, that's why he's coming. He is not shy of asking, and yet he's asking for it. How did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam react? Sit down. Do you like it to your mother? Do you like it to your sister? Do you like it to your daughter? People don't like it. So how can you do something to people that you don't like it yourself? Treat people like the way you want to be treated. This is the minimum that you can do. We're not saying treat people more than the way you like to be treated. No, at least equal. What did he do? He made dua for him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enlighten his heart and chaste his private. And when he left, that feeling or that problem that he had that he came for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cured him from it, and zina became the worst thing that he hates. He would not think about it. The companion or the Bedouin who came to the masjid and urinated in the masjid, what would the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Let him finish. The companion who sneezed in the prayer, or someone sneezed in the prayer, and he said, Yarhamukallah. This is what he knows when someone sneezes, to say, Yarhamukallah. He doesn't know that he cannot say that in the prayer. What did the companion do? Almost attacked him and jumped him in the prayer. What did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? At the end, he told him kindly that the words of such things, that is not Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, is not fitting for the prayer. This is all he said, not added. So these are examples of how you welcome the person with an open heart rather than dumping him and turning him away. Because we had some sisters literally saying that those sisters who come to the masjid, sometimes not dressed properly, we should not allow them in the masjid. Now, is this da'wah? This is not da'wah. This is not da'wah. Because you, the person who's saying that, have a lot of sins that qualifies him or her to not be admitted in the masjid. Not dressed properly is a sin, right? But also, there are many other sins that we don't see it as a sin, or we don't see it as bad as this sin, simply because we got used to it. Backbiting, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. Do you like to eat the flesh of your brother dead? This is not a sin? Well, we are drowned in that sin, either doing it or listening to it. But unfortunately, we use it a lot to the point that we don't see it as a sin. So this is the way that da'i is supposed to be. Invite people to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sicker the person, the more compassionate you should be, the more patient you should be in order for him to grab him and to take him to the right path. We said that carrying mountains and drying the seas is easier than raising real men. Real men who are keen on being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keen on calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You love Allah, you claim you love Allah, you're built on loving Allah, automatically you do what Allah likes and you stay away from what He dislikes. You love whom Allah loves and you dislike whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. To raise people like that It's not a simple task. We know that we teach children in the school, you could be a teacher, that you teach children from kindergarten to high school and barely getting close to thinking that this is a good person, that he is qualified to be a da'iyah or a good da'iyah. 12 years or more years, it takes a lot. So we need to realize that. It's not like one admonition or one reminder or a few lectures, you're going to have people dedicated for Islam and calling to Islam and changing their lifestyles and all that. It's not that simple. Once you get that in your mind, then you will not slack in making the da'wah. You will not think that, oh, this is such a long way, or people I have called and I have advice and people are not changing and I'm not going anywhere and people are not listening to me, and you give up. Why? Because you don't have the tools or the knowledge that qualifies you to be in that path. Because you are the best, or you are the person with the best speech by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Who is there who has better speech than a person calling to Allah? No one. So if you are in that position, then naturally I would sacrifice everything to keep that position and to keep that title and to defend that title. You see people in a simple sports, they train themselves day and night, 8 hours a day or more, to stay fit so they can win in a bout of, in a matter of seconds sometimes, sometimes maybe 30 minutes or so. They dedicate all of their life for that particular thing. And all they're getting is worldly rewards, and they might not even get it. And we are looking for the hereafter, called and named by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the best speakers, following the path of the prophets, exactly what they were doing, and with little difficulty we find ourselves giving up. مهما بلغ الفساد في الشخص تذكر دائما أنه ربما يكون هناك بذرة فيه أو ربما يكون هناك بذرة خير فيه تنتظر من يستخرجه. It doesn't matter how bad a person might be. You could say he's a devil. There must be a small seed of goodness in that person. A seed of goodness waiting for someone to find it. What do we mean from that? By that? We mean like no one is pure evil. No one. I don't care what. There is goodness in everyone. And there are certain keys for certain hearts. Here are the deeds. There's a good deed or a good quality in that person. It needs a special key. People who call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the locksmiths. Just let's put it this way when it comes to heart, because their job is to open hearts. To open hearts and fill them up with goodness so they can be directed to good. Now, not all keys fit every door lock. Every heart has, or every quality has, a special key. Some people want to give good, or some people, let's say, generous. I can make a fundraising and they will not pay because I don't have the right key to open their heart, their particular good thing in them, to make them give. Someone else comes and does a different way, a different approach, and he gets a lot from the same person that I could not get anything from him. Why? He has the key for that heart. Some people can convince people to leave sins. Some people can convince people to dedicate themselves to coming, for instance, Isha and Fajr, or for Jama'ah prayer, or for fasting, extra fasting and such. Why? Because people have it. Some people have more than one key. They're successful in fundraising, they're successful in being da'iyah, and they're successful in dealing with even non-Muslims. Why? It doesn't come like that. They work, they study, they pay attention, they dedicate themselves, they're sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they'll continue on seeking knowledge to develop themselves. There's no limit for saying, I reached a level where no longer I need more information. You always need the information, and what the information you have, you always need to revive it over and over, and you need to open your ears all the time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from calamities. You know, the catastrophe that we heard about, the brother talking about in Haiti. And when you think of natural disasters like that, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about, which is signs of the Day of Judgment, first thing comes to our mind is to protect ourselves first. To reflect on why these things are happening. Are we falling in that category? Are we at least ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if the same thing happened to us here and we end up dying? This is something that we always need to think about. It's not like it's a country over there and maybe we feel a little bit with them. No, it's not far. We are not far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strike us with the same thing. We don't follow the geology and all of those prediction of people, this land is prone for this and that. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wants to do something, all of those natural things will be null, zero. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who makes the cause and the effect, and He can strip whatever He wants to strip and make the things happen. So we need to look at ourselves. Are we on the right path? Are we ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if that happens to us? That's one. Another one, we're really getting close to the Day of Judgment, closer and closer. And number three, are we human? Are we human? Are we good Muslims? Because extending your hand to others is Islamic. Helping a Muslim is a must. Helping a non-Muslim is also recommended. But we fail to do those things sometimes. We do it, but anytime you do something, you need to have a present intention that I am doing that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a da'wah. As a da'wah, not just simply humanitarian. Because yes, you did something good, you will get your reward for it, but you get no credit for the hereafter. If it's not for a noble Islamic cause, it will not count in the sense of rewards. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَفِي كُلِّ كَبِدٍ رَطْبَةٍ لَكَ صَدَقَةٍ. In everything that is, in every living thing you feed or you take care, it counts as a charity. When someone steals your money, picture this, steals your money, it's a charity. If you have the intention when you collect the money and when you spend the money and when you grow a plant and when you do this, I'm growing this plant because Islamically I'm commanded to do that because I know I get rewards from it. If a bird eats from it, I get rewards. If an insect eats from it, I get reward. If a human being eats, I get reward. If an animal eats from it, I get rewards. Then you will never feel bad about anything that you lose in this life if you have a sincere intention when you do the act. So if you get rewards in insects, And if Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every living thing you get rewards if you feed it, then naturally, feeding a non-Muslim, taking care of a non-Muslim or helping a non-Muslim is very Islamic and very recommended, but we need to do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to make it as a da'wah. We need to announce it that this is part of Islam. We're doing this because Islam commanded us to do that. And here is the hadith. Here is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about that. It's not just simply give and turn your back without a message. This is like, just like I said before, a person calling you to sell you insurance or to sell you anything on the phone that involves riba. It is not a da'iyah way to say no thank you, or simply say no thank you, I'm a Muslim. No, I would say no thank you, this is really prohibited in my faith, I am a Muslim and I wish I can get it if it was permissible, for instance, but in Islam it is prohibited. Now you pass the message, a small one. You got those people to know that Muslims don't deal with that. It might arouse their intelligence to go and ask someone Muslim. There may be a Muslim person who works with them there, involved in that haram, will be asked by that person. But the thing is, we don't do that. We are too bashful in most cases, or careless to pass that message. We just take a shortcut, no thank you very much, and we hang up. So this is not way of Islam. So we need to help, but we need to have the sincerity, because this is a da'wah. This is a da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We stopped last time at point number 12, which talks about, or rather, point number 10. حاول أن تنسى فالخير لله. You're a da'iyah. You want to capture hearts. This is our topic. I did you a favor. I didn't do it for you as you. I did it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. So I'm not going to remember it. Or I'm not planning to put a click save in memory. I did it, let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take care of that. I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Everything we have tabulated it in a preserved scripture or books, scrolls. So I do the good for the sake of Allah and I don't click save. Meaning, when I am in need for that person for something, I did not really plan it this way to go to that person because I helped him, I expect him to help me. Why? Because number one, I did it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, I will be extremely disappointed and sad if he doesn't help me. Why should I sadden myself and lose the reward for something that I should give it to the sake of Allah and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of it and reward me for it, and I don't have to worry about it. Okay, I helped you, I loaned you some money, I need the money, I come to you, you turn me down. Yes, I'll feel a little bit bad, there's no doubt. I mean, I'm a human being, but I'm not going to start picking on you and going around telling people I helped him and he did not help me. I would not do that. Even though I feel bad, and this is normal, and there's nothing haram in that, but I will keep my mouth shut. Why? Because I did it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did not expect from him anything. It's nice from him to keep that help and to remember the favor and to help me when I need help, but it is not a condition that I stipulated in the beginning when I helped that person. So, when you forget it, number one, it increases your love in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves you more because you're doing it with sincerity. And number two, people would love you for that. Because the person whom you helped, he knew that you helped him. He knew that he has an obligation to help you when you need help, if he can help. But when he didn't help, he knows deep inside that he is not a good person, he's not the right person, he was not grateful to your favor. So deep inside, he will appreciate you more, even though he did not help you. And you might wonder, a lot of enemies for the person respect the person even though they are his enemy. They respect his diligence, they respect his honesty, they respect many things, his manners, even though they don't like his path, but they have certain respect. Don't we have respect for the honesty of the non-Muslims? Don't we always say they are dedicated, they are truthful? If you complain, they'll solve your complaints. If they do, we always talk about that. We always compare ourselves to how we act and how they act. So we are loving something even though we wish that they all believe in what we believe. So when you do good, do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't plan to remember it. Do it and forget it. Allah would love you and people also would love you. The next one, لا تكن كالذباب لا تقع إلا على القاذورات. يعني ما الإنسان ما ينظر إلا إلى الأخطاء. Don't be like a fly. You always fall, or she always fall on trash, on dirt. What do we mean by that? Look at people as people. They have good and they have bad. Don't always criticize their bad qualities and talk about nothing but their bad qualities and forget their good qualities. The only one that does that is flies. They always land on dirt. But be like what? What kind of an animal? Anyone can know? Bumblebee, ahsan. Look at the bumblebee. The bee lands only on flowers. Have you ever seen a bee in a trash can? Or on dumpsters and all of that? I know, brother, you're going to say, yes, you saw one. There's probably some honey there. But you always find them on flowers. And even the flowers, they check them to find the best of the nectar in those flowers. The opposite is the fly. Be a bumblebee, not, or be a bee, not a fly. You need to remember that the acceptance of people to you is a goal that you will never accomplish. If you have that, then you have the basis. Because if you please one, you're not going to please the one who doesn't like that one. So I please you, I might displease him. I please him, I might displease you. So how can I please people? Let's focus on pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will be pleased from you and He will make people pleased of you. But some of you might come and say, well, you have many good people who are pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and there are still many people who are not pleased with Him. We say that their opinion is invalid Islamically. It has no weight in the sight of Allah because they are deviants. They are not the people who have weight in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people who are the good people, whose testimony is accepted, are the one who will be pleased with you. So if you want to look at an imam, or you want to look at a leader, or a da'i, or something, if the people of knowledge praise him, and they're happy with him, then we don't care about the people who have no knowledge or they follow their whims and desires about their opinion. When you want to make mashura, you don't make mashura with the mob, with the ignorant people, with anybody. You make the mashura with the people who have the knowledge of deen and the knowledge of that particular thing that you are talking about. So this is how you do it. Please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will solve all of your problems. I don't do it to please you. I look, this is the judgment, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I say it, whether you like it or you don't like it. If you are fair, if you are Islamically fit to be fair, you would like it even if you hate the judgment, but deep inside you know I did what I should do. This is what we are looking for. Also, to attract or to open the hearts of the people, احذر من ارتداء النظارة السوداء. Be careful of not wearing sunglasses. Dark sunglasses. I'm not talking when you are working in the yard or when you are driving. I'm talking about some people in the masjid or some people inside your house or outside your house or maybe sitting with you in the car or when you're talking directly. Why? Because when the person hides his eyes where he shouldn't, it's a sign of weakness in his personality or arrogance or lie. The person is arrogant, weak personality, or a liar. And you know, it did happen. I don't think many people paid attention to it. When we had the conference, Dr. Dermelli, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heal him, he was giving a speech and he was under chemotherapy. And light hurts his eyes a lot. He has to wear sunglasses. When he stood up, he pointed to that indirectly. If any of you was there, probably heard that. He said, brothers, I'm under chemotherapy and I need to put my sunglasses on. It's not that I just like to do it. I have to do it. I cannot really do that. And he did that. Why? Because these are the understanding of the people when they see the person doing that. Why is he wearing sunglasses when he's giving a speech? Why? You know, it's either lying or being arrogant or weak in character, and you don't want to be any of those things. And it is nice, actually very nice of him when he did that, to do that for two reasons. Actually, the best reason out of those is he had mercy on the people. Because once he told me that, I'm not going to have bad suspicion about him. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. Stay away from too much suspicion, because some of the suspicion is haram and it's a lie. So when he did that, I don't have to go, well, does he have weak personality? Is he arrogant? Is he lying? Why? And you know, you spend your time thinking straightforward. Like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he took one of his wives and he walked her out of the masjid, and the companions kind of slipped away out of the way because of whatever reason they had, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called them and he said, عَلَى رِسْلِكُمَا, slow down, stop, let me explain to you. إِنَّهَا صَفِيَّ زَوْجِي. This is Safiya, my wife. Don't let the shaitan play in your mind, at least thinking or wondering, who was that woman with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If you were to think like that, you had committed kufr. Plain kufr, if you suspect that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a different woman than his wife. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not out of defending himself, out of mercy on the companions, he told them who she is so they will not think about it. And that's when he explained. They said, oh Prophet of Allah, we're not going to think about you. He said, yes, you're saying that, but the shaitan runs in your blood, in your veins, like the blood runs in your veins. Meaning, the shaitan is going to throw something in your mind, make you think, make you destroy all of your good deeds. So it is always good to explain. تَرَفَّ عَمَّا فِي أَيْدِ النَّاسِ تَكُنْ مَحْبُوبًا. You want to open the hearts of the people? Here is one thing. Be hopeless of what they possess. Hopeless of what they possess. You got a nice car? I don't have that. I put in my mind, I'm never going to have a car like yours. I'm never going to have a house like yours. I'm never going to be as good looking as you. I'm never going to dress as good as you. I'm never going to have a job as good as you. I am hopeless of having anything you have. From you. Not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you do that, people would love you. People would love you. When I come and ride with a person who has a car, 50,000 or 60,000 or something like that, and I walk into that car and I say, MashaAllah, it's a nice car. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless it for you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you enjoy it, or something like that, and you continue on. It's not, where did you get it? How much you paid for it? Was it interest free? Was it not interest free? Man, what kind of a job you have? Man, how can you save? Man, how many kids you have? He's not going to let you ride in that car. He's not going to even like to see your face coming near that car. But when he sees that you have no interest in that car, he would love you. He would tell you, man, this guy is really content. So anything those people have that you don't have, don't open your eyes to it. You want something like it? Why don't you turn to the one who gives? Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's there waiting for you to open your mouth. All you have to do is ask. وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Don't just be wishing to have the things that people have. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his bounty. Why do you need to envy someone when you can get the same thing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or if you don't get it, it's good for you. Because if you got what he got, you will be a horrible person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes make you poor, because being poor is good for you. And sometimes he makes you rich, because being rich is also good for you. اكسب الجدل بأن تتجنبه. You want to be a winner when you argue with someone to capture his heart to start listening to you? You know what's the best way to do that? Stay away from it. You win, and the person would like you. I see that you are entering in an argument, not something that you are looking for. The truth, it's turning to an argument. I will go away from it. Okay, brother, jazakallah khair, inshallah, khair, and I just leave it. Not only you make the person like you, or you will be a winner in the sight of Allah, but Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam guaranteed you a house, a castle in Jannah if you do that. You know why? Because the hardest thing on a person to leave an argument when he is 100% sure he can win it. Boy, it's hard. When you know the other person doesn't have enough proofs, or you know that you are saying the truth and you have it, and you just simply leave it for the sake of Allah, it's a killer. It's not easy. For that reason, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam guaranteed you a house or a castle in the Jannah. لا تكن لواما. Don't be a person who is blaming all the time. You meet your friend. How come you didn't call me? Why the other day when I called you, you did not answer? You told me you're going to come at certain time, and look at the time, you're always late. Man, you promised me something a week ago or 2 weeks ago. Every time you see a person, you're always blaming him for something he didn't do or something that you want him to do. He's going to get tired of you, and if you have all the knowledge in the world, he's not going to enjoy sitting and listening to you. This happened to a person who's being bombarded with questions that he doesn't, with questions that he didn't like to listen to or to be blamed for. He did not like it to the point that, this is a real story, he lives in Euless. You know where he prays, Jama'ah? I know Brother Sadiq is going to say Arlington. Well, that's Fort Worth? No, Richardson. Because certain people, every time they see him, they keep asking him and blaming him for certain things. Why? So he wants to avoid him. The only way to avoid, he wants to pray, he's a good man, but he's sick and tired of those people, so what does he do? He goes all the way to Richardson to pray there because of those people. Now, are those people doing what they're doing because they're bad Muslims? No. They're doing it, they're advising him, they're asking him, they're hoping for him to do something good, but they're not doing it right. They did not have the tool for his heart. They lost him, not lost him. They lost him so bad to the point, look what he does to avoid them. And they are brothers that he meets where? In Jama'ah, in the masjid. That's why we say sometimes, it's a da'wah to be quiet if you don't know how to make it. اتصل بأصدقائك. You want open hearts? Pick up the phone and call your friend. Assalamu alaikum. Just want to make sure you're doing all right. How you doing? Work good? Family good? Anything? You need anything? No? Then of course the other person will be waiting for you to drop the bomb, because that's what we usually are. No, thank you. Okay. Inshallah, I'll see you at Maghrib or see you something. You hang up and the person will be gone. You know, you're expecting him to say something. Give me something, or you did something. But he's shocked now. You're calling to just say, how you doing, brother? Normally, we don't do that. Normally, we're calling to ask for something or talk about something. This person is doing nothing. I'm calling you, brother, for nothing. Just want to make sure that you're doing all right. Or just because to tell you, I love you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or just, I'm happy to have you as a friend. Anything that strengthens the ties between you and that brother, it makes that brother cling to you, to listen from you, and he will open his heart to you because he will trust you. حاول أنت أن حاول عند تحدثك مع الطرف الآخر أن تظهر الاهتمام المشترك. When you talk to other people, show him that you're in the topic. You're enjoying what he's talking about, even if you are not interested in it. Show interest for him, to listen to him, and share him with a topic. If you know he likes talking about something, every now and then bring that topic and talk about it, then smoothly exit from it to the topic that you want to talk about. Rather than coming and telling him, where were you in the prayer? Or let me see you in the prayer? Or let's go do visit a sick person or something like that. Bring the topic that he likes to talk about, then smooth out of it and said, hey, how about if we go visit so and so? You will find that person opening his heart to you and to come with you. Some people think, يعني يظن البعض أن الغضب قوة في الشخصية. Some people think that when you're angry, that means you have a strong character. You know, you can scream, you can yell, you can swell your veins, you can get your face red, you can scare the person in front of you. So, strong character. This is how, unfortunately, some people see that, and it is completely 100% the opposite. The person who is quiet, the person who controls his temper, the person who doesn't scream, is the one who has the strong character. Why? Because if you have that strong character and that confidence of yourself, you don't need to do anything to prove that. People can see that. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he told us about the strong person, what did he say? لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِالصُّرَعَ إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عَنْدَ الْغَضَبِ. Strong person is not the one who wrestles people, or wins in wrestling people, or extremely muscular and powerful. He said the real strong person is the one who can win against his anger. Because to win against your anger, when you are aroused, whether you have the right or not, is extremely hard. And if you have the right, it's even harder. Remember, stop argument, even when you're right, guaranteed place in Jannah. angry and I'm right. Boy, you would not give the other person a chance to breathe. You will be saying and talking, screaming and yelling and pushing and shoving and all that. No, if you want to show your strength, control yourself, because if you win against your anger, you are a winner. And that is something that 99.9999 of the Muslims need to work on that, including myself, because this is so favorable thing and so easy for us to get angry and to use it. Look at this. To use it as an excuse. When you do something horrible to the person, "I'm sorry, brother, you know, I was angry." Wow. Not only you should be ashamed of yourself, you're using it as a valid excuse to be forgiven. That is completely the opposite. Look what the poet says. تواضع تكن كالنجم لاح لناظر على صفحات الماء وهو رفيع لا تكن كالدخان يعلو بنفسه على طبقات الجو وهو وضيع. تواضع, humble yourself. You will be like a star that appears to people on the surface of the water while it is so beautiful. Usually when you are at the surface, you are not the best, right? If you have the foam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set an example in the Quran, the truth settles down. The falsehood rises on top of the water as foam and it disappears eventually. And the truth stays. Well, here in this, even though you are at the surface of the water, but this is a reflection of a star. So you are very high in the sight of people, even though you are on top of the water, that usually things, when they appear on top of it, they're useless. And then in the second part he said, don't be like smoke that rises by itself above the clouds while it's in the eyes of the people very lowly. Yes, it is above the clouds, but too low. Yes, it is on the surface of the water, but it's too high. So you are a star. You are a star. Humbling yourself means what? Come down to earth. Stick to earth. That's lowly. That's too low, right? When you're arrogant, what are you trying to do? You're trying to rise to the sky, to rise above people. Is it something high in the sight of people? No. You're like a smoke when you are arrogant, and you are like the star when you are humble. Even though you are too close to earth, but you are too high in the eyes of people because of your humbleness. This is a doctor. He said he gave a point in the art of gaining the hearts of other people under the title "La Taf'al Shay'a." Recommendation from a doctor says, if you want to gain the hearts of the people, do nothing. Well, we need the doctor to explain to us. He said, many people are amazed of how can you gain the hearts of the people by doing nothing. He is a doctor and he has tried it and knows what people do. He said, this will establish and strengthen the hearts between you and the other people if you do nothing. Meaning what? Listen to people and don't talk. Just listen. Sit with a person who has a problem or complaint or just want to talk, and sit there and just keep listening to him. Because people like that. How did that doctor know? He said, أكثر الناس يستدعون الطبيب أو يذهبون للطبيب لا ليفحصهم بل ليستمع إليهم. He said, many people go to the doctor not mainly for the examination, but they want him to listen to them, explain the problem that they have. And believe it or not, wallahi, I know, probably here, many of us, including myself, first complaint against doctors is what? Doesn't give you the chance to explain. You feel like when you go out, when you leave, you still want to tell him some more about yourself, and he did not really listen to you enough to give you the treatment. We feel like, let me explain. I mean, you already jumped to conclusion, you need this. No, listen to me. And we go to some doctors who are not really as good as they're, yani they're not that famous, they listen to you and you come out from there, he probably prescribed Tylenol medicine for you, and you probably even get cured because you just had confidence in that person. You feel like he treated you because you got everything out of your chest. Personally, I went to Jordan because they're cheap over there, even though the doctors, yani, high class and everything, but I mean cheap in comparison to America. I went there to so many specialties. I said, you know, I can afford $20-$25 for just consultation, so I can get the chance to explain everything about my body. My hand, my leg, my arm. I'll go to one doctor, you know, he will get confused to even listen to me for that. But why did I do that? I want to get the chance to dump everything that I have, and then if I get something, I say, Alhamdulillah, I got everything out, and this is the way it is. I either seek the treatment or say, Alhamdulillah, this is the way it is. So the same thing, we are doctors when we are making da'wah. Let the person dump his grievances on you. And what's the first grievance? Wallahi, ya Shaykh. يعني أنا كنت أجي على المسجد. I used to come to the masjid and I used to do this and that. But those people with long beards, you know, this guy broke my car and this guy cheated me with $20. And you keep listening to him. And I agree. Yeah. And he feels like, wow, you listen to him all the way. You're not like one of those people who just come and when you open your mouth, you know, no, they're not like that. They are much better than you. They are the people who come to the masjid. You don't come to the masjid. You capture that person, believe it or not, because he sees, wow, you're different. You're not the same like those people who attack him immediately. You know, deep inside, you know that much of what he says is not really true, even though some of it might be. But the point is, you listen to him, you gained him, and you can pass your da'wah to him. A question. Have you ever seen or when someone sets a trap for a bird or an animal and he catches him, who owns it? Who owns that animal or that bird? Naturally, you. The same thing, hearts. Hearts are birds. You need to capture them. You need to set a trap for them and make sure you catch them. And the best way to catch them is what? Smile. Wallahi, you capture hearts by smile, and that's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طلق. He said, don't belittle the smile. This smile captures hearts. This smile makes your brother feel good, and the best thing that you can do is to make a Muslim feel good. This heart makes the brother happy, and he is listening. He will be willing to listen to you and accept you when you're smiling all the time. Number one complaint against people who make da'wah is they're frowning all the time. They're too serious. If someone says a little humor or something like that, they would not even smile. They would say, oh brother, this is vain talk, astaghfirullah, you know, let's continue our dhikr. Brother, you're still a human being. If people see you like that, they're not going to hang around you. I'm not saying that you're horrible or what there's, but without smiling, and also, too much smiling sometimes, I mean to me, I don't know about you guys, too much smiling sometimes turns me off. Because I see that it's really fake. 24 hours you can't, I mean, you know, you're a human being. I say something, I mean, smile where the smile fits. You meet someone at the door, just simply stretching your cheeks is not Islamic. And you just go, what is this? We have salamu alaykum. We have handshake. We have a little bit more better smile than this, but yani, you know what to do best in order for you to gain all of that. And let me just pass another one to you, inshallah we conclude with that. Talking about smiles, you need to have, any person who calls or he is in da'wah has to have a sense of humor. You really have to have a sense of humor, because you don't know who you're going to run against. You don't know, you're meeting old-fashioned people, you're meeting young people, you're meeting jokers, you're meeting all kinds of people. So you need to play along within the boundaries of Islam. A serious person, okay, I'll be serious with him. Somebody who likes little humor, I'll have some humor, as long as it's not haram, there's nothing wrong with it. As long as I have in my mind, I am going to attract him and do something for the sake of Allah, then I will do it. And this is something that many people don't have. And you got so many little humor in everything that you do that makes people attracted to you. But within boundaries, within limits. I mean, it's not like all of your life just laughing from the day, the time that you meet the person until you depart from him, you're laughing all the time. Life is not laughter all the time. And any person who does that excessively, he would lose his respect in the eyes of other people. And when you start talking with people, do your presentation. Sometimes if you can put a little humor in your beginning, something, and when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the old lady came to him and she asked him to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make dua that she will go to Jannah. An old lady. He said, old ladies don't go to Jannah. And she was crying. She turned away and left, and he just got up with her and he said, nobody old in Jannah. Everybody will be recreated young and beautiful and everything. Look, he did little humor. The result was not successful in the sense of her understanding to it. She misunderstood him. He did. Prophet ﷺ said the truth. So one of those funny things that you say, it has to be true. And it has to be where the other person knows, if it's not true, the other person has to know that you're not serious about what you're saying. Yani, I come and I tell you, I'm going to tell you something, and when I finish, you're laughing and everything, but in your mind, you think that this is a real story, something happened. This is haram, because if the other person thinks that you are telling the truth, then it is a lie. But if it's just a simple story and the other person knows that you're joking, you're not serious about it, this is not haram. So the woman cried, but Prophet Muhammad ﷺ immediately explained to her what he meant, and now it is something for us. We see it funny and we use it and we laugh at it, because this is the way if you want to start. Type will. Brother, how about if I finish it? 2 minutes. So we can finish the topic. Type quickly, I will finish it in 2 minutes, inshallah. There's nothing left, so we can start a new topic about da'wah, inshallah, next time. Use the way of open-ended questions. Who uses that? Salespeople. Sir, do you like this car? No. Okay, goodbye. What's next? He already told you he doesn't like the car, doesn't want anything. No, you would say, well, sir, what kind of a car are you looking for? I mean, what kind of options do you like to have in the car? That's an open-ended question. He has to say something to you, and you have to respond to him to do that. Well, I like leather seat and I like this. Oh, and then you continue talking. Don't use question to the person, brother, do you pray or not? No, I don't pray. Okay. Brother, you like to go to the masjid or not? No, I don't like to go to the masjid. But brother, masjid is good for you. Astaghfirullah, how could you? It's not going to work. But brother, how about you? Let's go and have a cup of coffee. It's not, do you like coffee? Let's go have a cup of coffee. You go. Then on the way, let's go swing by the masjid and see what's going on there. Maybe just pray. You can work something. Don't make it close-ended question. That's good for salespeople. And we're doing what? We're selling what? We're salespeople. We're selling what, ya shabab? We're selling da'wah. We're selling religion. We're selling guidance. We should be more professional than a car dealer. And a lot more different than a car dealer. Why? Because we're saying the truth. We're not lying about what we're doing, yani, for those who do lie. Also, I'm going to conclude with this. Studies prove that when you meet a person for the first time, you can capture his eyes and his heart by following this magical prescription. Number one, say salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah in a way that you really sound good in it. Okay. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's different than assalamu alaykum. Different. Yes, this is good and this is good, but that one is different. Smile while you're saying it. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay. Kif halak, brother? Wallahi, ya shabab. Wallahi, I say that. Wallahi, I feel embarrassed to pass by any person without shaking his hand. Wallahi, I feel really embarrassed. And what I avoid doing many things so I don't be put in a situation like that. Like for instance, even the khutbah til Jum'ah, when I go to the khutbah and I have to pass by people, I'm going to the khutbah, I'm not going to shake the hands of everybody that's sitting in the masjid. But I plan my way to where I don't look anyone directly in the eye, because if I do, then I'm going to end up saying salam alaikum, shake hands. If you make it a part of your life, it's easy and it's very rewarding. Very rewarding. It's a da'wah by itself. And sufficient to say that, shaking the hands of a person, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, your sins would fall from between your hands like the leaves of the trees fall in the fall season. This is how rewarding it is when you say salamu alaikum and shake the hand of your brother. So say salamu alaikum. Smile on his face, shake his hand, tell him that you missed him. Brother, where were you? I did not see you yesterday. Really, I was, you know, I missed you. And you talk about him and show him confidence in himself. Show him that you admire him. Wallahi, brother, I admire you for coming to Fajr prayer. I can't commit myself the way you do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you steadfast on that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that you see good in that person, compliment him on that. Let him talk about himself if he wanted to express something to you. Listen to him attentively and don't keep interrupting the person when he is talking. And this is, finally, if you do that, you have captured the heart of that person. So I hope that these are some of the points that I have gathered under the title, The Art of Capturing the Hearts of Other People for Da'wah. Why we are capturing hearts? Because we want to make them sit and listen for your words so you can gain him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those people who make da'wah to him, from those people who love whom he loves, and call for everyone to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innahu sami'un qareebun mujibud da'wat. And I'm not going to apologize for being late, because it's good for me and it's good for you, inshallah. But I can tell you this, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for every second that we went overtime. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you feel the happiness of those seconds as you exit the masjid and before you get to your home. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. If you have any question, I don't know, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka atubu ilaik. That seals the whole thing. For those who like to leave, can leave. For those who have a question, I'll stay behind a minute.